Paul from AMS with us. So your location?
Right near the corner of PD and Verona Road on the southwest side of Madison. You can call us at 608-274-7400, amsmadison.com, or you can even like us on Facebook.
Sounds great. Paul from AMS.
You're listening to another podcast at sliceoffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers. Joining us, John Nichols from the Capital Times and the Nation. So, John, kind of a quiet weekend in America. I know you're out of the country right now, but kind of a quiet, docile weekend in the United States of America.
You know, I don't usually disagree with you, Sly.
Uh-huh.
But I got to tell you, just from far, and your fingers are more on the pulse, I thought it may well have been the most disturbing weekend in a very long time in America.
Well, let's recap it. This is from CBS.
White nationalist protesters and counter-demonstrators clashed violently in Charlottesville Saturday morning. Blogger Jason Kessler had planned a so-called pro-white rally here to protest the city's efforts to remove a statue of Robert E. Lee from a city park. For over an hour, demonstrators threw tear gas and water bottles at one another. Police did little to intervene. Just before noon, the governor declared a state of emergency. Police cleared the park, and as crowds spilled onto the streets, a car drove head-on into a group of counter-protesters, killing one and injuring 19. Police helicopters flew over protests all day. Late in the afternoon, a state police helicopter crashed, killing two officers. Police have charged the driver of the car, 20-year-old Ohio resident James Alex Fields Jr., with second-degree murder. Reporters spoke with his mother yesterday.
I just knew he was going to a rally. I tried to stay out of his political views. I didn't know it was white supremacists. I thought it had something to do with Trump.
Well, doesn't that say it all right there?
You know, it's very funny. I hooked into that comment as well. And in a way, it's a very revealing comment.
It is indeed.
Because it suggests that there are people who, and I'm not going to speak for the mother, I don't know where she's at politically, but there are people who see Trump as a mainstream political figure, but there are also people who see him as, at the very least, saying things or doing things that appeal to the extreme right. And people coming from these two different perspectives can be talking with one another and think, maybe even hear, very different things. And to my mind, that tells us why the President of the United States, who has tried a little bit to clean up the mess he made with his initial response to what happened in Charlottesville, why he really needs to pause and speak to the American people at some length and say that in the struggle between those who support segregation, white nationalism, the renewal of the Confederacy, fascism, Nazism, and those who oppose all those things, he is absolutely and unequivocally on the side of the opponents.
Well, see if you can pick up any detection of that sentiment in this statement.
We condemn in the strongest possible terms this egregious display of hatred, bigotry, and violence on many sides. On many sides. It's been going on for a long time in our country. Not Donald Trump, not Barack Obama. It's been going on for a long, long time. It is no place in America.
So look what he immediately jumped to. You know, he sounded like he was reading, and then all of a sudden he immediately started getting animated when he tried deflecting it to Barack Obama, saying that, you know, it isn't just him this happened under. And then many sides. You notice how his voice kind of started getting more animated?
Yeah, on many sides. Of course, it was exactly the wrong thing to say. It was the wrong thing for two reasons. One of which is deeply troubling, and the other which is just sort of pathetic. The deeply troubling thing is the use of the term on many sides, right? Because that suggests an equivalency. And if you followed what, you know, the alt-right folks and the neo-Confederates and the neo-Nazis and other people said in response to Trump's statement was, hey, he didn't call us out. He didn't reject us. He, you know, equated us with the people we disagree with, right? So that's what they heard from that. It was a terrible, terrible, terrible message because it equated the opponents of racism, the opponents of fascism, the opponents of Nazism with those who, at the very least, are insufficiently opposed to those things. So that's a troubling and an extremely dysfunctional statement by a president who brings shame on himself, on his political party, which was, by the way, founded to oppose, you know, many of the worst elements of the American experiment, and on the country itself. It's a terrible, terrible thing to say. But then, draw a line here, when he then went and started saying, it's not about me, it's not about Barack Obama, that's just pathetic. I mean, because it suggests that the guy actually recognizes he's part of the problem.
Well, he tried building
a straw man. Trying to deflect blame.
He did a number of things there, including building a straw man. Had there just been some confrontations at that rally, even if they got a little dicey as they did, and the Charlottesville police are going to have to explain why they stood back when they did. But, you know, I partly understand. So a lot of that militia came with well-armed, openly carrying assault rifles. But regardless, he drew a straw man there because the president of the United States wouldn't be responding to that when he was there to make some other address. There was only one reason that a president would need to address that situation, and that was the action of the man driving the Dodge Challenger into the crowd and killing people. Yeah. That would be the only reason the president would be addressing that. So this many side stuff, and of course there were some left-wing anarchists there, but they really weren't the story.
Well, I mean, it was the reason that everybody's focused on Charlottesville was because there was this Unite the Right rally. It was people who came to Charlottesville because, for whatever reason, they still want to defend the wrong side. And I want to emphasize the word wrong side in the Civil War.
Oh, that, you know, by the way, they filled the town, including poor Professor Larry Sabato had all these white supremacists on his front lawn.
Well, do you remember this song by Camper von Beethoven?
Which one?
Take the Skinheads Bowling. It was no, I'm not kidding. This song has a line. Last night there were skinheads on my lawn.
Oh my God, that's well. We'll have to send that to Professor Sabato.
Professor Sabato might want to just blare that out of his front window.
Here is let me play this clip of Matthew.
In fairness to skinheads, there are plenty of skinheads who are not Nazis.
Yeah, right. No, I understand that. Here is. Matthew Dodd.
A lot in life and in politics that usually the first response of what somebody does is usually what they mean, right? And in the course of this, the president's first response on many things is what he really means. Ban Muslims and whatever he happens to do. I think when you step back from this, they're going to clean this up. They're going to attempt to clean this up. But we already know where the president really is on this.
Birtherism is how he launched it.
You cannot celebrate and reap the profits of the Hunger Games and then step back and say, how did that happen? And that's just what's happening right now.
Do you agree?
Well, I'm not quite clear on the Hunger Games. I think I get it, but, you know. But, yes, I agree that Donald Trump has a huge problem here. And the problem is this. He didn't misspeak once. He's had a constant problem with this. This has gone on now for, you know, the better part of 2 years. He's been confronted with questions about the incredible enthusiasm toward him from the extreme right.
Let me play this. This is Jake Tapper a year and a half ago.
Will you unequivocally condemn David Duke and say that you don't want his vote or that of other white supremacists in this election?
Well, just so you understand, I don't know anything about David Duke, okay? I don't know anything about what you're even talking about with white supremacy or white supremacists.
That was really a very ugly moment.
It was a horrible moment for a couple reasons. Number one, you know, if you read the news reports and some of the articles, there's some suggestion that his father might have understood white supremacists. And that's one element that's kind of come into the fore in the biographers of Trump and others who've been saying that, you know, it may not just be him. This may be a familial problem.
Look, he has surrounded himself. You know, last week it didn't get much attention because there's so much else going on. But these pastors, two out of the, I don't know, five pastors that he has come in there now, have been caught making blatantly anti-Catholic statements saying it's not a true religion. Now, I'm sorry.
I take offense to that.
Yes, yeah, I would. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's just part and parcel, part of a bigger problem. He surrounds himself with intolerant people.
Well, and you know, in the book I've got coming out later this year, which looks at all of his appointments and all the people around him. One of the things that I did in examining, it was an interesting thing. I was trying to get to the heart of, you know, the soul of Jeff Sessions to try and figure out more about him.
Ooh, you're going to need some deep sea equipment there.
Yeah, well, let me just tell you, it's a little murky. But it wasn't that hard. If you go into the kind of alt-right, neo-Confederate, neo-Nazi world, right? They really, really, really like Jeff Sessions a lot. And it's notable that some of the players who are popping up in Charlottesville are folks who have been talking about Trump and talking about the Trump administration a lot for a long time. And I'll give you one example. When Trump was inaugurated, one of these alt-right bloggers said they weren't really sure that Trump was on their side, you know, but that Steve Bannon and Stephen Miller, especially Stephen Miller, were racially conscious men.
Well, those were the two people that were with Donald Trump at Bedminster.
Well, it's just this is a significant thing, because if you go and take a look at the alt-right, if you take a look at, you know, the neo-Nazi websites, at David Duke's site, places like this, and I give immense credit to the Southern Poverty Law Center and others who've really been monitoring this for a long time. But if you go and take a look in that world, what you're going to find is an unsettling level of enthusiasm for Sessions, for Miller. Also, they loved General Flynn. They used to think General Flynn was great, but he doesn't happen to be around anymore. Also, notably, while they're not very friendly toward immigrants, there's some evidence of some sympathy with Sebastian Gorka.
He's a real, real piece of work.
He is a total piece of work. He gets a chapter in my book.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, not many people have talked about it, but, you know, there's a cross-section in some of these supremacists liking, you know, Michael Flynn and the Trump administration giving a wink and nod to Vladimir Putin. It's about this ethnic white purity in the world.
Oh,
it
yeah.
isn't just the United
oh, yeah.
States.
No. It's the place where, this is a very interesting thing, because it's the place where the intersection of anti-Muslim, anti-Islam sentiment, you know, and segregationists, white nationalists, white supremacist stuff. And where it really occurs is that a lot of these folks, and again, I'm not going to speak for any individual, you know, but just to say that there are folks on the hard right who really like Putin because they see him standing up in very violent ways to the Muslims in his own country mm-hmm. and in neighboring countries. And they see him as, you know who else they really like? Assad.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, no. It's a very interesting. Their kind of worldview is very clearly defined, and Putin's very, very high in the order because they do see him as sort of this northern white tier, you know, champion. If you read their stuff, it's and you don't have to read it for long. You get a very clear picture of where they're at, and again, to emphasize. I will tell you this, like, you back me up on this if you choose. Months ago, weeks ago, when everybody was saying Sessions didn't have much time left and Sessions was going to be pushed out or something's going to happen with Sessions because Trump was mad at him about the recusal and stuff. Do you remember how I always said he's never leaving?
Right. Well, you've said that about Bannon, too.
Yeah. Well, there's a reason for that. And because Bannon and Sessions are truly beloved by this hard right base. And it appears, by all accounts, that Donald Trump is very conscious of that base. It doesn't necessarily mean, and in fairness to Donald Trump, that doesn't necessarily mean he agrees with them on everything. But as you saw on Saturday, he's very uncomfortable calling them out.
We'll pick it up from there. John Nichols from the Capital Times, SlysOffice.com.
Injury lawyers Mike Riley and John Walsh.
John and I approach personal injury cases in the same way. We want to be certain that our clients are treated fairly, that our clients are comfortable, that our clients know they can trust us to get the best result for them.
It's our professional responsibility to make certain you are fairly and fully compensated. Most of our cases are settled without a trial.
Call injury lawyers Mike Riley and John Walsh at 257-5661 for the personal attention you deserve.
We're back at SlysOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers and many great local sponsors like Madison Computer Works, AMS, and SNR Remodeling. All right, so Donald Trump, the real Donald Trump. Well, we know that Donald Trump came from a family that had a terrible record on renting to minority people in New York. We know that the Trump organization, Donald Trump himself, at one time it had some issues with some Catholic business people. We know that Donald Trump has a political career that was launched with birtherism. It was the bond. It was the bond. That guy had been, you know, friends with the Clintons at one time, at least on a sort of social, you know, kind of a surfacey way. Everyone's friends with the Clintons on a surfacey way. Anyway.
And weirdly, for a time, everyone was friends with Trump.
Right, right. He was at Howard Stern's wedding, you know? Anyway, so the question is, the real Donald Trump, is he a racist? Now, some people have said some pretty provocative things over the last 24 hours. This is Rob Reiner on Saturday night.
He doesn't care about anything except Donald Trump. And he's looking at the people that got him there, and that's all he cares about. I mean, you mentioned it earlier, Joy. You know, he had Marco Rubio, Orrin Hatch, Paul Ryan, all saying the right thing. But he's the president of the United States, and he needs to condemn these groups. He once said, I could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue, and I wouldn't lose any support. Well, this is like a person died today, and so he didn't shoot him, but you could consider him an accessory in a sense because he's been stoking this stuff for years. So unless he comes out in a full-throated condemnation of what we saw today, then and risk losing these people, then he's not the president of what we know as the United States. Of America.
Thoughts?
Bold statement, very strong statement.
By the way, he's pretty good.
Yeah, well, knows how to speak. Look, I think he's getting at the heart of what I've been trying to say here, which is that Donald Trump has not made a clear break, an absolute clear break with that portion of his constituency that, even if they are not actively involved with neo-Nazi and segregationists and white supremacist groupings, that at least, aren't as troubled by it as they should be. And so what Donald Trump, no matter what his own sentiments are, no matter what's in his heart, if he doesn't overtly say, as president of the United States, I stand with those who are opposing raising the Confederate flag, who are opposing, any kind of white supremacist, white nationalist talk, who are opposing even the expressions of these sentiments. I object to that, and I favor those who stand up to them. If he doesn't say that, he will continue to facilitate the worst possible behaviors and attitude. And Trump has not done that yet.
Well, you know, it's interesting.
It's not that hard to do.
It's interesting. David Duke, so he did come out with another statement today.
Yes, but, he did. No question.
But it was pretty tepid. David Duke has sort of put Donald Trump on notice. David Duke was at that rally. And, you know, he really is kind of an anachronism, but he, for some reason, in moments like this, he
shows up.
He shows up. Here's David
Duke. Did you notice? Sly, are you still?
Yep.
Yes, he's been working out. He's pretty buff there, David Duke. I've covered him in the past. I covered him when he ran for governor and senator down in Louisiana, and he was kind of, you know, a little bit scrawny. He showed up at that rally, man. He had like the tight button-down shirt on.
He is right. He's ready for
quite a piece of work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Here's David Duke.
We are determined to take our country back. We're going to fulfill the promises of Donald Trump. That's what we believed in. That's why we voted for Donald Trump, because he said he's going to take our country back. And that's what we got to do.
Take the country back from whom?
Fulfill the promises there.
Yeah.
Well, this is my point. This is what I've been saying. You know, if you look at the alt-right on the web, and they're all over the web. They love it, right? If you look at them in social media, they were on board for Trump early on. They loved his cabinet picks, or at least a lot of them. They have cheered him on through a lot of what he's been doing. And I think you've come at it in two different ways now with Reiner and then with Duke himself. I mean, we get to this core point. I am not saying, let me put it another way. Of course the president should condemn Nazism, white supremacy, neo-Confederacy. He should condemn all that. But he needs to do something else. And this is it's a subtlety, but it's really important. He needs to say, I am on the side of the people who oppose this. If there's two sides clashing in the streets, and I hope they're not, but I on balance, those who are opposing Nazism and racism and fascism are better than those who are supporting it.
Well, I will tell you that Donald Trump pays attention not only to cable TV, but he pays attention to what Rush Limbaugh is doing. He pays attention to what Alex Jones is doing. He pays attention to what Sean Hannity's doing. Yes. Now, Hannity will follow Trump, but Limbaugh today was telling his listeners, first of all, he gave this very long screed about that this is essentially liberals' fault for making white men feel guilty, that pushed this man to the brink, and he somehow got Ritalin as a child, and that we're pushing. It was a really crazy rant. But then he went a little further and basically said that and he drew the straw man that people that want to remove that statue want to remove history. So he said, well, if you want to remove history, then if we get rid of the Robert E. Lee statue, we've got to get rid of anything revolving around Martin Luther King, because that was the civil rights era. We've got to get rid of the movie Gone with the Wind. We've got to get rid of Gettysburg. That was his justification for keeping Robert E. Lee in the middle of a college town where children of all races come to play in the park.
Well, here's the bottom line.
Are you surprised he said that?
No, I'm not, because that's how he plays. You know, that's the game he plays. Here's the bottom line. After the Civil War, there was a clarity in America. And that clarity was, at least on the part of reasonable people, that in the Civil War there was a good side and a bad side. The good side was the North, the Union, the people who fought, not merely to keep the country together. That's sort of a rewrite of history that's come over time. They fought to end slavery. There were kids from Wisconsin who had no great interest in keeping Alabama in the United States or Mississippi. That wasn't their first priority. Their first priority was that they believed that slavery was a sin against God. And so they marched into battle, and the cemeteries in Wisconsin are full of these young men from rural counties and cities who died in the struggle against slavery. And there was extreme clarity there. over time, there has been a rewrite of history, a revisionist history, that has suggested, well, you know, it was brother against brother, and, you know, people just had these differences, and, you know, but they were all Americans, and, you know, with all due respect, at some point we do have to have clarity. Again, the clarity that we had after the Civil War, that there was a right and a wrong, and that the Confederacy fought for the wrong cause. And with that clarity will, in many communities, come a decision that you should not honor the leaders of the Confederacy, that Jefferson Davis, that, you know, generals named Beauregard, you know, I don't, you know, whoever you want to, whoever some town wants to say, well, maybe we ought to move beyond that. That's a good thing. You know, that's fine. Communities can have debates about it. They can say, yes, this is a part of history. We should keep this here because we want to understand things. So we want to, that. I understand that, you know, some folks may make an honest argument. But at the end of the day, I think in Charlottesville, the determination is clear. I think in New Orleans and in other communities, the determination has been clear. And why some of these so-called monuments or plaques and things that are getting taken down, they aren't just honoring Robert E. Lee. Some of them are pretty explicitly honoring the cause of the Confederacy. And I think it's quite...
There's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these. By the way, I think Mayor Mitch Landrieu...
Take those down.
Mayor Mitch Landrieu put it very well. And he was asked about taking these...
No, he gave a fabulous speech on it.
Well, he said, look, this isn't our history. New Orleans is hundreds of years old. This is a few years where people, there was basic anarchy, and these people were treasonous against their country. They're not,
that's right.
They're not our history.
Yeah. And again, in context, if you want to talk about that period, if you want to understand it, I recognize that studying history, we study the good and the bad. But when you have symbols that seem to suggest a respect for those who fought to maintain human bondage, right? That's something, yeah. I mean, it's something you ought to want to make a break with. You ought to want to say, you know, maybe that statue wasn't the smartest move. And again, it's an interesting thing. Where we've seen things get really ugly is where you're trying to take these statues down, where communities are actually saying, yeah, we want to get rid of this. And it's interesting that Charlottesville is a place where they've chosen to stand their ground, so to speak. Charlottesville is a liberal community. It's a college town. It's a reasonably progressive place. And so I would suggest to you that in this case, these folks, this Unite the Right crowd that is coming into these places, they're not coming there merely to defend a statue that they like. I think they are also coming there to provoke a clash. Right? They're not going to places.
Mission accomplished.
Where, yeah, exactly. And I think it's a horrible, horrible politics. People have a right to express their opinion, but when you are aggressively seeking to provoke violence, that's something that we ought to be concerned about.
Yeah, I've watched a documentary last night about Richard Spencer, who's really the leader of this movement. The whole supposition is that white European men conquered this country, conquered this land. And whether the way they did it was right or not, it's theirs, and it doesn't belong to anyone else. And he singled it not just down to white European males. He singled it down to men.
Oof. Well, you know, hey, you know who Spencer was kind of buddies with in college? Well, I think Spencer was in grad school, maybe in
Stephen Miller?
In college. Yeah. Hanging together. No, I'm not kidding.
Oh, God.
No, I'm not kidding. No, you got to read my book, man. I mean,
but it's not out yet.
I'm just telling you. This is, researching this stuff is mind-blowing. Because, and you know who Stephen Miller worked for, right? Before he, you know, kind
Jeff
of went
Sessions.
Into the Trump scene. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a tiny world. Sebastian Gorka was the anti-terrorism writer for Breitbart and Steve Bannon.
Oh, it's a small world.
About a handful
I feel like
people.
Singing. It's a small world after all. Okay, a couple things here. We can go a little long here today. A couple things. Here is Donnie Deutsch, the advertising executive who used to be friends with Trump, at least an acquaintance, on the morning show today.
Pathetic, sniveling little man on president is a coward. You know, it's very easy to use the terms Nazis and Ku Klux Klan. Let's step back for a second as far as what these people are marching for, what they stand for. The Ku Klux Klan, for decades and decades, and they were built on lynching African Americans. The Nazis are built on the followings of Adolf Hitler, of exterminating Jews. 6 million. No, we don't think Jews should exist on this planet. We're going to exterminate. That's what World War II is about. Mr. President, can you not condemn those people? Are you in support of that? Is that what this is? It is so disgusting and repulsive. And when you watched him speak, when you could see, you know, we've seen him speak passionately. When the first part of it, he was almost reading that text, almost like he didn't want to. And then when he got animated was when he got to the many sides part. The many sides, you know, Joe has asked me many times on this show, you know, Donnie, you and I have known Trump for years. He says racist things, but he's not really a racist. No, he is a racist. He is a racist. Can we just say it once and for all? When we look at his history, when we look at the housing issues, he's talked about reverse discrimination against whites, the birther movement. We have a racist as a president.
Didn't leave anything out there, did he?
No, and I think that, but he did it in an interesting way. And as you said, he was friends with him, or at least acquaintances. He did it by putting evidence together. And this is the point at which we are at. Maybe Donald Trump and his closest supporters and allies, people like Paul Ryan, don't understand why there's such a reaction against Trump at this point. But this reaction against Trump at this point is not rooted in the events of this moment, as horrific as they are. It's rooted in experience. It's rooted in having seen this guy over time. And so when Donnie Deutsch says that, he's not making some rash comment, Trump's a racist. He's saying, here is the evidence. Put these pieces together, and what else can you say? And I think that America, as a country, why this was such a tense weekend, why this was such an unsettling weekend, beyond the specific incidents, which are horrifying in themselves, was that I think an awfully lot of people, after Trump's statement on Saturday, we're starting to put the pieces together and say, there's something very, very wrong here. This is unhealthy to have someone who's incapable of an immediate anti-racist, anti-Nazi, anti-segregationist response. That should be pretty much the easiest thing for a president to do. And the guy struggled with it.
John Nichols from the Capital Times and The Nation. Thanks for coming to SliceOffice.com.
SliceOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.
You know, we work hard every day. In mills and mines, hospitals and schools. In office buildings, pharmacies and shipyards. Factories and forests. In squad cars, ambulances and taxicabs. We do all kinds of jobs in Iowa, Wisconsin, Illinois, and all across the United States and Canada. We build the things that build our country. We do things that keep our country going, support our families and our communities. We have the courage to stand up even when no one else does. We have the strength to fight for what's right, for our families and for yours. We're your friends, your neighbors, your sisters and brothers. We're more than 1 million members strong. We stand in solidarity with workers in every continent on the globe. We're the United Steelworkers Union, and every day we fight for you. Please join our fight. Visit usw.org or like us at facebook.com/steelworkers.